I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello.
Hello, David.
Hello, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
All right. So the reason... Welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon.
We sound a bit tentative, but there's a reason.
There's a reason why we sound tentative. So we're recording this. In the old days, we used to have, when, you know, Expectation, who Tim runs, the production company, took this podcast a bit more seriously, but they realised they're never going to make any money from it. We used to have sort of people around us who would help us to make sure that it was all recording and fine. Now they've just left us to our own devices.
I think that's a sort of metaphor for the whole creative recording industry, isn't it? Used to be loads of people.
Just us.
Okay.
Just us. We've been cut adrift. And you, even with the power you use, presumably wield at your own production company, you can't get anyone to come and help us with. So we're in my office, which regulars will know is a fine place, and we're struggling to make sure that we are recording. So it's a weird thing. I'm saying this, and the part of my mind is thinking this may never be heard.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Except by you.
Yeah. And to be honest, I can take it or leave it.
So. So what we're doing is we're recording on microphones into a device that may or may not be recording. Mm. As a backup, we're using our telephones. And if you're hearing this in a kind of shit, spacey, bad acoustic way, that's probably because we had to use the phones.
Yeah.
Just one thought about my phone is that I've got a voice memo app.
Yeah.
And it does a thing whereby it just decides to call the recording something.
Okay.
What's it calling? What it tends to call it is where I am. It just decides where I am. And sometimes it will say that. It will say my home address and number 20.
Right.
At present, it's saying Dewhurst 5.
As in?
Dewhurst is a butcher's.
Yeah.
It's saying Dewhurst. Presently, according to this voice memo, I'm presently in Dewhurst the Butcher's, and this is the fifth recording I've made there.
Is there a Dewhurst Butcher's near here?
I don't think so. I mean, it's spelt slightly differently from I think it's spelt with an I, Dewhurst.
Right.
I don't know what that means, but if I go back on them, and it's just people saying sausages, yeah, no problem, so that perhaps would explain it.
How do you feel about butcher's shops when you... Are you often in butcher's shops? Okay, let me put it this way.
Question.
Okay, I'll tell you that. So there's a butcher near where I live.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice
butcher. Dewhurst?
No, it's not. It's, actually can't remember the name of it. But it's like an independent butcher.
Right.
As in quite free thinking.
Sort of, liberal butcher. There's no meat in it.
Doesn't have meat because it's like, fuck it, we can do what we want.
Yeah.
So I go, and I remember going in there a few years ago and I asked for a leg of lamb.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the butcher, who's not there anymore, he was always a bit... I don't know, he was sort of a bit of a Jack the Lad. Yeah. He said, which leg?
Yeah, I think you've told me the story.
I'm
worried you've told it on the podcast.
Maybe.
But it's so long ago.
Yeah.
I think we can go.
And I don't know if I said right. I think I just was a bit like, oh, I don't know, but maybe that's a thing.
Yeah.
So, and I obviously looked a bit frozen. He said...
There's a frozen section.
Exactly. And he made a joke about it and we moved on. Right. I was duly humiliated, which I think is what he wanted.
So the whole point was it was a joke.
It was a joke, but it was a joke not to... And I suppose what I feel about butchers a bit like garages is that they quite like... They see you coming in and think, oh, you're obviously all right. You know, you've come from your fancy London... whatever. That's what I feel it is.
Right, okay.
And they're like, yeah, but you're going to be an idiot in here and I'm going to make you feel stupid by saying, oh, I think the crankshaft's gone or whatever.
Were you thinking you're saying the back left?
Well, I was thinking... I think I remember thinking... Is there a difference between left and right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
But you're right. If someone said, what leg, to me, I would instantly get, you know those pictures you sometimes see of a cow, a sort of side profile of a cow, and it's split into about eight different sort of sections of cow, and it turns out this bit is actually the bump, this bit is the flank,
that's right,
this bit is the toe.
Yeah, I know that bit. Yeah. That's the bit I could get.
No, but they've all got strange, meaty names.
Yes.
I think that might be exactly what I would have thought.
Yeah.
I should ask for a specific butcher. Yeah. But he was taking the piss.
Yeah. Now, by the way, I have a really good relationship with that butcher. This guy's gone.
Right.
Because the other thing this guy did, by the way, was when my...
You left under a cloud for a complaint.
No, my wife went in, Pippa, and she asked for something. And when she paid, so this is what, with money, because this is a while ago, he said...
You could still pay with money.
No, that's true. Yeah. He said something like, is that your phone number? Like, really, like...
She paid with money.
She handed him a £10 note or whatever. Yeah. And he said, is that your phone number? Like, as if it's a bit of paper.
So it's sort
of inappropriate. Yeah, but sort of a bit like...
you.
I was there. I wasn't there.
No, no.
Yeah.
The leg thing is kind of flirting.
Oh, is it?
I think so. Well, it's kind of joshing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can... Yeah.
It's banter, which is the worst form. Because it's slightly...
Yeah.
It takes two.
No, he was definitely flirting with Pippa.
Yeah. No, and a bit sort of inappropriate. And also, that's not what you go to butchers for.
So Pippa told you this.
Yeah.
And you said, that's it. It was bad enough when he did the leg thing. Now he's coming on to my wife.
Yeah, like, well,
he'd sacked.
She said, and she said, look, I better tell you, it was my number.
Okay, do you know why? His sausages are amazing.
He does this brilliant joke about the leg on the lamb, and it's so much funnier than you.
So much funnier. So if we move on to Dewhurst and the butchers for a second, there are other issues. Before we completely move away from the technical problems of recording this, perhaps someone can help us with something. So, with the batteries were running out.
This is quite a big thing.
What's it called? Zoom.
It's a recording device.
Recording device. It's called a Zoom something.
Yeah.
Right? It's nothing to do, I think.
No, Zoom, but that's annoying to say that.
Yeah, okay. Think, so, it's a recording device.
It's like a tape recorder, but it's.
Yeah, but it's digital. Not like it, because when you say tape recorder, I imagine a clunky thing from the 1970s. That you press record and play at the same time,
right?
And it does, the buttons flip up. It's not like that.
Yeah,
it's a small, rather sleek device, and it said that the power was running out.
By the way, I can never listen to, even though I do, "Going Underground" by the Jam. Yeah. Everyone will have a version of this. But hearing it, and as it plays out, I hear, and that's the sound of, I think it was Tommy Vance. You know when you used to stop.
When you're
listening to the charts and you try and get it that the no other track does it to me, but
just going,
underground is the one where I hear the what was your like that, the sound of me pressing stop or whatever you did, pause, and the sound of the DJ deliberately coming in at the end. That's what they did, isn't it? Stop you taping.
Oh, so you would stop it, you would try and
just before the voice, and I just almost got it. And it's like, it was like more upbeat, so it was annoying. Right. It was like a DJ. So
you're saying you made cassettes of the charts?
I am saying that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, of course.
I ever did that.
Yeah, you just the best bits, right?
No, I didn't do it of the radio. I would do it of records when I was like trying to create sort of
definitely
early versions of playlists.
You know my cousin Guy?
Of course, yeah. Not.
He used to tape all the time because he had like a hi-fi. He just had all the equipment, and I remember being quite... The thing, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but the thing he had, which just popped in my mind, which I couldn't get over and was always jazzing, and always been a bit of me that sort of feels I've missed out.
Yeah.
He had one of those machines that delivers, that you put a 2p in or whatever, and the dairy milk comes out the bottom, like a toy chocolate machine.
Oh, did he?
Do you know what I mean by that?
Of course.
Yeah, you can picture it.
Like there's one in, strangely enough, not a toy one, down in the tube station at midnight. Isn't
what?
There? Down at the tube station at midnight.
Oh, is that what
Paul Weller says something like, actually,
put so in a...
Well, I put in money.
No,
I put money. I put in a...
Put in a peach.
Pulls out a plum. He pulls out a plum. I put in a something. Oh, God. I always assumed that was chocolate from a machine.
Really? I always assumed
it was a chocolate. Because there used to be chocolate machines at the tube station.
Did there?
On the platform.
Okay.
Yeah, and they were always getting vandalised, right? Because he's about to get beaten up. Right.
So
oi, mate, you got any money? Right.
Yeah.
I was terrified by down the tube station at midnight.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It was basically my terror reflected back at me at the time. But someone I read recently, pull out a plum, refers to the tickets that were the plum coloured back then.
Wow.
Down in the tube station at midnight lyrics.
Yeah.
I
put in a
pound.
Pound.
And pull out a plum.
So that's
where's the lyrics? Right, here we go. The distant echo. I've got all the lyrics.
Far away
voices. a fumble for change.
Yes.
And pull out the queen, smiling, beguiling. And he does say, I put in the money and pull out a plum.
Okay, and that's...
Now, for years, I mean, I've never thought it was a plum.
No.
I've never thought, oh, it's a sort of grocery machine where you could get fruit and veg.
Maybe the some of them were built in Victorian time. Maybe they did at the very beginning of literally dispensing green gauges.
Not right. But, no, I've always imagined that it's a chocolate bar. Just because that was so much a
thing. That's amazing.
But do you not remember them, that there were chocolate bars?
You say it, I think I do remember it. I mean, I wasn't as fixated on them as on Guy's toy chocolate machine, which seemed to me the best thing anyone's ever owned.
Okay, so I've definitely read somewhere that the plum refers to...
Maybe they had wooden drawers, or was that cigarette machines? Like the drawers that they came out of?
They were wooden drawers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were endlessly getting vandalised.
Okay.
For the money, and sometimes perhaps for the chocolate.
Yeah, right.
And because he's about to be attacked, Paul Weller, or the character of the nice man who's going home with the takeaway curry to his wife.
As we've discussed before, like very late in the day, like too late in this...
Have we discussed it before?
I think we've discussed before how late they're eating a curry.
Yeah. It's
midnight.
We've done this. I'm sorry.
He's not home yet. So it's midnight and he's still not home.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to believe that his wife is getting
cut. He says later on the curry's gone cold.
Yeah, the curry.
Which is odd to think while he's lying on the thing. Did they take the curry? Because they take the keys. So one of the most horrible bit is he says they take the keys and she'll think it's me.
Oh, of course.
Which is really hideous. Yeah.
No, it's really sinister.
It's hideous. I mean, actually, I just want to allay anyone's concern there because I am of the opinion that they weren't going to go around and do horrible things to his wife.
Right.
Partly because most people who attacked you on the tube, and it happened to me a number of times, just wanted your money.
Yeah.
And secondly...
Why did they take the key, though?
Well, no. Secondly, like, there's no discussion of how they got his address.
I think that's the point, isn't it? Yeah.
They take my keys.
Yeah.
Then, like, the lyrics do not say, we had a long conversation, which I refused to give them my address.
I finally gave way. No, that's...
So I think she might have been all right.
Yeah, no,
they might have just taken the keys as a kind of afterthought.
Yeah. The other thing that Guy did, my cousin, which, what does this say about someone? He's a lovely guy, by the way.
Lovely guy.
Literally, yeah. But he kept his Easter eggs when he was given them. So he had a shelf in his bedroom and it had Easter eggs that were unwrapped for, in my mind, years. It probably wasn't years, but, like, you know, that again, I remember being an amazing...
But what was the... I've now lost the point of Guy having a... model thing that you could get
chocolate. But it's a toy, something you would...
Yeah, but why are you talking about it?
I don't know. Because we were talking about down in the tube station.
No, we weren't.
Oh, were we?
I brought that up when you said that.
Oh, God, I actually can't remember why we were talking
about.
I cannot remember.
Okay, so we're going to go back to what we were talking about, which was there were four batteries powering the thing that we're hoping you are listening to us from. Yeah. We are recording this onto this device. And it suddenly said, batteries low. Yeah. And so Tim said, shall we go and get some batteries? And that was a pain in the arse. And I found, this is the point, three batteries.
This is very interesting.
I think it is interesting.
Yeah, no,
we found three batteries in my office that were from a packet. One of them was missing. And I said, let's use these. And then there was quite a lot of conversation about, well, that's not going to work because that's not how electricity works.
Mm.
And I said, well, one likes to imagine that there's a kind of crippled battery left that we keep in there. We keep one of the old ones in. And the other three who are young, strong, you know, ready to help batteries, they carry the fourth battery.
Yeah.
And that is, and you said
that's happened.
You said that doesn't work. It's not like that. They're not like soldiers in the First World War. You didn't say that, but that's what you meant.
No,
you're anthropomorphising the batteries too much. But they are working, as far as we know.
They seem healthy. When the first time around, it went within seconds.
Yeah.
It's now 13 minutes into a fascinating podcast already.
Yeah, yeah.
And the batteries haven't given up, even if the listeners have.
So well done, the three young, strong batteries, really, for helping out the old man battery.
Do you think there's something that we could do, just in terms of our brand, making us more ecologically aware, that we could start to promote the idea of use an old battery along with new ones.
Based on this moment.
To conserve energy and so on.
Quite a dull campaign.
I also think it's the sort of thing that a Tory MP would get in a lot of trouble for if they said, well, I think what people should do is use an old battery and combine them with new ones. And then they'd get accused of being incredibly heartless.
Tory MPs are asked about the cost of living crisis. Yeah. And they, well, really, what they should do is get an old baked bean tin and get all the beans out of it, and it's all that stuff.
Yeah, and the wrapper the battery's coming, eat that, is what that's...
It feels... I don't know if we'd get into the same level of trouble as, say, Jacob Rees-Mogg.
right.
for our battery campaign.
Right.
But
right.
I think given where we are, I don't mean my office, I mean the status of this podcast and culture, I don't know that we'd really be able to get
What is the posh thing, where does this come from, that a Tory MP would very buffed and tuffed and Tory, where instead of saying this, they would say this.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not aware of that.
They would say, this is a very...
Really?
Yeah.
That just sounds like a speech defect to me.
No, I think it's like a really, like, House of Lords...
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
This?
No, not the bit with the S.
What happens if they're actually saying this? I.e., either saying vis-a-vis...
Vis-a-vis.
Or, I don't know what I do like, is that magazine Viz? Right, they're saying this. No, that's not this.
No, they're saying, it's a bit of this and a bit of that.
Yeah.
They
I've never heard.
Have you not? Okay, no. I'll do some more research on that.
Yeah, if you can come back to me on that one. So one last thing, before we get on to nothing at all, because we don't have anything to say.
Well, if you can tell.
But one last thing about our sort of arrangements in this office is that I asked him if he wanted a cup of tea or coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And we went for coffee in the end. And then I had a bit of a problem, which is that the only milk I had was oat milk. I generally prefer oat milk.
Yeah,
that's fine. Right. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was that the one bit of oat milk I had, I put in the freezer. And I thought to myself, well, I can just, you know, put that in the microwave, defrost it. You know, Bob's your uncle.
Mm.
And then within seconds of putting it in the microwave, there was a sort of fiery conflagration. I want to say conflagration.
I didn't see it, but it was like one of those explosions.
It exploded, and there was instantly a terrible smell of plastic burning.
Right.
A bit of it had just exploded, and that meant we couldn't have milk in our coffee. And that is entirely the sort of thing that happens to me all the time.
I think I'm quite sort of clumsiness or something, isn't it? Or a lack of planning, because I do that all the time. So it's the sort of thing I would do, I think.
Well, let me tell you something that happened to me yesterday, which also involves milk.
Okay.
While we're on the subject of milk. Again, a very good example. Right. So I've been away. I've been doing stand-up gigs, and also I did the Cheltenham Literary Festival. And when I got back yesterday, it was quite late, and here's a little insight into our domestic life, is me and Morwenna have a cup of tea in the morning. And to be honest, she normally makes it. I make no bones about it. It's not good. Yeah. Occasionally, but to be honest, but she does get up earlier than me.
Right.
But
what kind of time are we talking? Seven?
She gets up about seven.
Okay.
And the sort of quid pro quo of her making the tea is I bring the tray. We have a tray, right, of milk, a little jug of milk,
okay,
and two cups, and a little ramekin that we put the tea bags in.
Oh, all nice. That.
Sometimes,
and you have it in bed, or you?
Yeah, we have it in bed. Yeah, right. And it's very nice, a little tradition, but I always have to bring the milk up. Yesterday...
she gets the tea ready.
In the morning.
She puts the kettle on.
Yeah.
Is it? But you know, in parallel. No. But your job in parallel
is bringing the tray up.
With everything on it.
Our bedroom is upstairs.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a big job. Mm. Making the tea is a bigger job. But I bring the tray up with two, and so I have to get two cups.
Right.
And some milk jug with some milk in it, and a little ramekin and a spoon.
Yeah.
Right. And I bring that upstairs, and normally that's totally fine. But every so often, like yesterday, I'm a bit pissed off. Because I think, she's gone to bed.
Back to bed.
No, I arrived home at about 11:30.
Right.
She's gone to bed. And I thought, what she hasn't realised is I've got a massive suitcase that I sort of need to put upstairs.
Okay.
Because it's got my wash bag in it and things like my toothbrush.
Which is massive, your wash bag.
It actually is. But I just thought, I'm going to carry all my bags upstairs. Right, and that means I can't take the tray as well. Obviously, I could have made two trips, but that's a lot for a man of my age.
Sure.
Right, so I said to Dolly, my daughter, I said, do you mind, Dolly, bringing the tea tray upstairs? Because I've got all my suitcase and all that. And Dolly, who's lovely, said, yes, I'll do the tray, whatever. Right. So then I'm humping my stuff upstairs, my suitcase. I've got a rucksack as well. I'm not really watching where I'm going. And next thing I know, I've hit something and milk's flowing everywhere and cups. And what's happened is Dolly, who is incredibly graceful, unbelievably, so she's a dancer and a singer and she's like beautiful and all sorts of things, has inherited one slight tendency of me, which is to do slightly stupid things without really thinking about them.
Yeah.
What she'd done is she decided on the way up to just pop into her room and shut the curtains or something. And left the tray balancing on the banister.
Wow.
This is a circular tray on the edge of the banister.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I then just, my shoulder, I wasn't watching, just bumped into it. There was just milk everywhere, right? Our cats immediately started to try and lick it. And when it had to come down from upstairs and clear it up, it was a total nightmare.
Yeah.
So that was
a lot of milk related issues at that moment.
Yeah, so I'm telling you that story just because I think I said with the oat milk exploding, right. I've had a lot of milk related accidents.
It puts me in mind of when my brother Rob and I were walking to school.
There are people listening to this now. I mean, yeah. Of the seven people listening, who are thinking, I wonder if this is the one where they don't mention David Bowie at all. Now, I just have.
So it's not this one?
It's not this one. No. Maybe I've just done that in order to, you know, I actually don't want that record to happen.
No.
I feel like if there is one in which you don't mention him at all.
Yeah. We've had one.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we always get him in some way.
Okay.
Whether that counts, me saying this is the one where we don't mention David Bowie, whether that counts as a mention of David Bowie.
It counts as a mention, but I don't think it's not very nourishing for anyone who's looking for.
No, if any Bowie nerds are out there, they won't think, oh, good.
Someone said to me the other day, and I said, we've done however many we've done.
It's over 200.
Over 200. And they said, blimey, and you find it must be hard to find something to say about David Bowie on each of those. Yeah. I said, no, well, we've never tried it, to be honest. It's not something we have to deal with.
No, it really isn't something we're that bothered with. I do when I talk to people, so I'm very interested in whatever anecdote, not about David Bowie, you're about to tell me, about Rob. But sometimes when I say to people, oh, I do a podcast, I do then say about David Bowie, and then I always have to say, well, it's not really about David Bowie. And then they start to glaze over. But after they explain, it started about David Bowie.
It's in his honour.
Yeah, there was lots about David Bowie initially. Yeah. Then it became more about David Bowie minutiae, and now we hardly ever mention it.
Yeah.
And you can tell people are thinking, well, A, I didn't need to know all that, and B, what kind of podcast is that?
It is the always fascinating Lincoln's Axe thing, isn't it?
What's Lincoln's Axe?
The axe. Someone's basically, I've got this amazingly valuable thing. I've got the axe.
Right.
That Lincoln chopped the cherry tree, right? Famously.
It wasn't Lincoln who chopped the cherry tree. It was George Washington.
Washington's axe.
Yes.
Was it?
Yes.
Anyway. No, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got George Washington's axe,
yeah.
The one he chopped the cherry tree down with.
Yeah.
The only thing, it's obviously been a long time, the only thing that's changed is they replaced the head of it and they replaced the handle. Right. It's always a great concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is it.
Yeah. Well, that was a bit at Stonehenge the other day.
Okay.
I was at Stonehenge because I was doing gigs in Andover and I was a bit bored during the day.
Okay, so you went to see
it. I went with my new tour manager, who's called Derek Fudge.
Okay.
He's brilliantly called Derek Fudge.
That's perfect.
Yeah. And I mean, he's lovely, Derek Fudge.
Yeah,
he's
sure,
really
yeah.
great.
Sweet.
I noticed, because in the middle of a show the other day, I had to bring him on because something went technically wrong.
Right.
And I did say, ladies and gentlemen, Derek. And then it did occur to me, I could have said Derek Fudge.
Yes.
He would have got a laugh.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but then I thought that might be horrible to Derek Fudge.
Right.
Anyway.
I'm sure he's had his fair share over the years.
He probably has. Anyway, I went to Stonehenge with Derek Fudge. Mm. And at Stonehenge, we get there. You're not allowed, you probably know this, to see the actual, to go close to the actual.
Yeah, there's a sort of rope around it or whatever.
Yeah, it's a rope around it. But a woman there who worked for English Heritage said, oh, but over there, sort of before you actually get to the main henge, there's a big stone that's a real stone, you know, and you can go and touch that and sort of hang out with that and feel the vibes.
Okay.
She didn't say feel the vibes.
Right.
But whatever.
Right.
You get there, it's not, it's a fucking replica. It's a replica. You said, like, why have you said that? It's a replica of a Stonehenge stone.
Like, and a modern one, not even one from the Victorian time. It's just literally...
Oh, yeah, a modern one, yeah.
Yeah, so...
They say this is an exact replica, but once you've seen the words replica,
yeah.
You think, well, why have you even bothered?
But this is what's interesting about... How did we get onto this?
Because you talked about George Washington's axe.
Yeah, but why? Because...
Because about Bowie.
Yeah.
It was about not mentioning
Bowie. Right, okay.
And having to explain the podcast. It was something to do with that. Well, this is the second time in this podcast where you've said, why are we talking about this?
Yeah.
And at that point, I think people are thinking, oh dear, they've both got dementia.
Yeah. I think, well, which is a reason to listen. It's an extraordinary thing to witness as we gradually crumble. It's an amazing experiment.
Yeah.
So,
in a way, this would be the perfect experimental sort of tracking of dementia.
Because,
because it's a freewheeling, you know, goes anywhere podcast, and has gone on too long, I mean, you know, with 200 or so episodes, people will examine it and say, well, it's very interesting because you can see them do dementia things like repeat jokes that they've done, repeat a long section about the curry in Down the Tube Station at Midnight. They did that
about three
years before, but they completely forgot it. And actually, you can see Tim here, he's actually lost the thread twice in one podcast.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. So
you were going to tell me about
Rob.
Rob's...
And I went to school.
Yeah. This is your brother, Rob.
No, it's not really a massive anecdote, but it's something that's important to us.
Right.
And it somehow stayed with us until the present day.
Yeah.
And it's, we were walking past a house. We lived on a sort of housing estate. So we're walking. So on our walk to school, it's just constant houses, you know, sort of like Brookside Close type thing.
Yeah.
And as we walked to school, we could hear this voice in one of the little houses. And the voice said, we heard it say, "Is there any more tea in the pot?"
Right, right.
From inside the house.
Yeah.
Maybe the front door was open. I don't know, but they're quite small houses.
Yeah.
And
then you realised you were in a British film.
No, both of us at the same time, in a way that probably we would have said jinx after, because we both said the same thing. But we said, sort of, as it were, to ourselves, not wanting to be heard by them, "Look for yourself." Which is what we really felt.
Oh, you said it. Well, you didn't hear that.
No, we heard them say, "Is there any more tea in the pot?"
You both said,
and we both said, "Look for yourself."
Right. Like, wow.
And
what a moment.
It's become a thing that we would regularly say. And it's, you know, one of those things you share.
Yeah.
But it does strike me that what an extraordinary thing to shout out. It's not, you know, like, "Is there any more
tea in the pot?" In what, well,
it's quite a small house. So it's not hard to look for yourself.
I mean, I'm not sure we should go down this road because it's such a bland anecdote. But, but to be fair, to whoever was shouting it, you're imagining, I think, that they are close to the teapot.
Yeah, we were definitely imagining that.
Yeah, they might not be.
They might be upstairs. Be
upstairs, or they might be, say, in, like, the kitchen. Not kitchen, no. They might be in the living room. Someone like Morwenna, like Morwenna, a wife, basically, has brought that person a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And they've said, "I've made a pot." But the pot is back in the kitchen. She poured it from the pot in the kitchen.
Right.
I mean, still a lazy man, because the man could
go
into the kitchen and look. But I don't think it's right in front of him.
No, but also, if the answer is no, I mean, like, just go down and make yourself a cup of tea. It's a bonus if there's tea in the pot. But otherwise, how much do you really want this tea?
Yeah. I mean, as someone who, as I say, whose wife makes him a cup of tea every morning, I'm siding a little bit with the selfish man in this situation. Yeah. I now forgot what I was going to tell you. That's because you've gone off on the tea tangent.
Was it about David Bowie?
It might have been about David Bowie. I don't actually have any news at all. Well, I did... in the gig I did the other day at Andover, there was some art. And it was Bowie and Freddie Mercury.
Okay. What, fan art?
Well, it was not, I guess so. I don't know. It was in the dressing room.
Right.
And I guess if you're in Andover Lights, which is the theatre in Andover.
Okay.
You may have thought as well, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I might be wrong, because of course David Bowie played the Friars, we're talking about him now, the Friars in Aylesbury, which is quite close. And sounds a bit like Andover Lights. But my main thought was, I'm sure neither of these guys actually play the lights. But then, of course, what you do discover is that I'm doing it and a couple of comedians are doing it, but then the main music is tribute bands.
Right.
In fact, on soon after, it was Think Floyd that were on last week.
Because the big one, what's the big one, Australian Pink Floyd?
Well, actually, Derek Fudge has worked with them.
Okay.
And he
said, do you think Pink Floyd are any good?
Do I think Pink Floyd?
Yeah, I wonder if, like, where do you
do
get...
Do I think Pink Floyd are really good?
Well, yeah, there's no one else here.
I used to like Pink Floyd in their glory days.
Do you think Pink Floyd...
Oh, do I think Pink Floyd?
Do you think Pink Floyd? That's the problem with that
That's
band.
The problem. Well, any tribute band that sounds a lot like it, you might make that confusion. Because I thought you said... Do you think Pink Floyd are really good? I thought
that's an extraordinary, general
question.
Also, such a weird... question to ask.
Yeah, well, that's why I repeated it. I don't know if you noticed, I repeated it about three times. At no point did you realise that I'd misheard you. And to be fair to me, it's quite an easy mishearing.
I would like to do a sort of, you could do a, what are they called, the operatic, Gilbert and Sullivan, you could do, do you think Pink Floyd are any good?
Yeah, it's like that. The modern major general.
Yeah, but Think model. Floyd, I would argue, it doesn't quite cut it because it's a rhyme.
But they're all rhymes. Well, they're not all
but
rhymes.
What does that, so where does that get
so
you thinking?
Could, I can't be bothered, but I'm sure someone else has done it. You could look up the most brilliant, funny shit names for tribute bands.
Yeah.
I noticed that quite a few didn't bother. So one of them was called something like Phil Collins Actually or something.
Right.
And
it
isn't. That's completely wrong.
Right.
It really isn't Phil Collins,
right,
who was retired from professional performance.
Right.
But he didn't have a. Like, I think I once in Cornwall, Dolly always thought this was very funny. Saw a tribute band called Bon Jovi, just sort of Jovi spelt wrong.
Just spelt slightly
a
vowel
wrong.
Different, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But you would have thought you'd have to have some sense that it's not. But Think Floyd isn't, I think Think Floyd is good. Because it is saying, if you're thinking about Pink Floyd, obviously Pink
saying?
Floyd are not going to be playing Andover Lights.
Right.
We know they're not.
Oh, I see.
So just think about Pink Floyd and listen to this band playing.
I
you're sort of there.
Yeah, when you sort of say, what's your music like? Well, think Pink Floyd.
Yes, exactly.
You don't say Think Floyd.
No, well, that's the trouble. Mm. They couldn't call themselves Think Pink Floyd.
I don't know. Maybe they could have done.
No, because... No,
that would be better.
And it's not a pun. Arguably, it's not a pun. It's not a pun. Think Pink Floyd.
No.
It's only a pun if it's Think Floyd.
But I've never been to a band on the basis of the pun.
Well, then you haven't been to see many tribute bands, because it's often all
no, but I go... I'm thinking whether I've ever even been to see a tribute band.
If oh, I really... Well, I went to see... The Musical Box, which is not a pun, but it is the name of a Genesis album.
Okay.
And there is a band that I've seen three times, I think, that in painstakingly recreate.
Mm.
The great thing about the Musical Box, and this is really quite boring, they don't try and do, like the Australian Pink Floyd will do all the Pink Floyd hits, right? Mm. So that's fine.
Mm.
But really, and what's clever about the Musical Box, why do you want to go and see a band like that?
Mm.
In a way, to relive your youth. And in your youth, they wouldn't be doing that. And what the Musical Box do is the 1973
Selling by the Pound tour
in every respect, with the costumes and the slides and that set list. They don't play Carpet Crawlers because that's on a different album.
I see.
And that is clever.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like, oh, this is exactly what it would have been like rather than a generalised portrait of Pink Floyd.
So what I want you to do now
is,
because this relates to something that also happened before the podcast.
Yeah.
I am going to be... a restaurant.
Right, I thought this was like stars in your eyes suddenly. Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be a restaurant.
I'm going to be a restaurant manager and you're going to book a table for lunch.
Okay.
I've just seen you do this, but the listeners haven't heard about it. And I just want you to do it, see if you can just do it as you would do it.
Right, okay. So you said to me, Tim said to me slightly evilly, he said to me, right, I'm going to talk on the podcast about the way you booked that restaurant and you wouldn't tell me what I did that was quizzical. So quizzical is, I assume, what I did. I said, okay, hi.
Hang on. So
hi.
The phone is ringing.
Yeah.
I'm now.
Oh, you're really doing the method.
So here I am.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Can we not talk over each other? That doesn't happen as much.
Okay, start again. Okay. I was going to say, hello. What's the name of the restaurant? Should we say it?
Yeah, all right. It's called Kami in Kentish Town.
Hello. Kami Restaurant.
I mean, it is a Japanese man. I'll leave it to you whether or not you want to do the accent.
That went through my brain and I'm absolutely not doing a Japanese accent.
Totally fine.
Okay.
That's probably best. Hello.
No, you need to be, I need you to be in the moment. So, here we go.
Okay, I'm in the moment.
Hello, Kami Restaurant.
Oh, I think you started to do the accent there.
I'm sorry, sir.
You've got an age of accent.
This is very aggressive. Now I'll put the phone down.
Okay.
Let's try start again.
Ring, 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 ring.
Hello. Hello, Kami Restaurant.
Hello there. I'd like to book a table for 1:45 today for two people, please.
1:45?
Yes, 1:45.
What's your name, please?
Can you book it under the name David?
David?
Yes, David.
Sorry, can I just get the time again? This isn't what happened.
This is what happened at all. 1:45. Yeah.
Okay.
What he said was absolutely, that's fine. I'll see you at 1:45.
See you at 1:45.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of... Sorry, 1:45. David, it wasn't that. He was fine about it. But
see you at 1:45.
Yes, thank you very much. Goodbye. Right.
That, what you just did then, perfectly acceptable.
What did I do before?
What you did before, I thought it would be hard to replicate because that, what you've shown there, and maybe you should listen back to this because that was perfect. What in fact you did was the guy, well, I didn't hear the guy, but when. So if you.
Okay,
so
shall I be the guy and you tell me what I did? You be me.
Yeah, this is exactly what you did.
Ring, 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 ring. Hello. I'm not doing the accent either. Hello, Kami.
Oh, that's a bit... Okay,
I think that's what he said. Yeah. Hello, Kami.
Okay, sorry, start again.
That sounds like your name is Kami.
It's quite important.
It sounds like your name is Kami and he's expecting a call from Kami. But the name of the restaurant is Kami, so...
It's important that I hear it, because the part of what's interesting is how quickly you talked to him, how quickly you came back to me.
Hello, Kami Restaurant.
Can I book a table for 1:45?
Did I speak like that?
That's what you did.
Did I?
You were like...
What, slightly sexy? That's how I've interpreted it.
Not slightly, incredibly. You were quite flat.
Right.
And arguably, a bit unfriendly.
I wasn't meant to be unfriendly. Okay.
But
So it's purely that, purely my tone that you didn't like.
Yeah, you went, I can't better take him 1:45. And he probably went, oh, all right, cheer up, 1:45 it is. Did he do that?
Again, you're edging into Benny Hill. No, he didn't. He said, I believe, as far as I remember, he went, 1:45? I went, yes, 1:45.
And he's hoping for a bit more. So he says, what name? And he's hoping for a something from you. And you go, put it into David.
Okay. Well, to be fair to me, I mean, yeah, probably. I mean, my wife is always saying, and she hasn't learned because she always says, what's wrong? Whenever I call her, she says, what's wrong?
Oh, because your tone?
Because of my tone, yeah. That's and also because she's a catastrophist. But okay. She does always say, right. What's happened?
Yeah, okay.
And I always assume that is because Morwenna is a sort of person who believes that the worst thing is always about to happen. Yeah. But she says, no, it's because your voice sounds like someone's dying.
You definitely sounded quite flat. I mean, but what I'd say in your defence is, in a way, if you're a people pleaser, which I am, I think, more than you.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, is that it's a sort of complete waste of energy when you're sort of going, hi there, yeah, great. And sort of like, name, oh yeah, no, I'm really happy to give you your name. What's yours? Oh no, I've crossed the line. So it's sort of pointless because he doesn't care. He just wants to get the details.
Yeah.
And this is why, again, I don't know if I've mentioned this, when I was walking through Covent Garden in London, because I know we get a lot of listeners around the country and around the world.
Yeah.
Covent Garden in London, that a sort of tourist came up to me and my dad and talked to my dad.
When?
Like, 3 years ago?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It might be when you were a kid, but no.
Oh, no, it's not. And said, do you know where the opera house is?
Yeah.
And my dad said, no.
Right. Just said that?
Yeah. And they moved on.
That was it?
Yeah. Whereas I would have said, and probably, well, I don't exactly know, but I think it might be down there. Oh, hang on a minute. Yes. Let me get my phone out.
Yes.
And, or probably, if I'm honest, probably give them the wrong directions just so I could be friendly and helpful. Yeah,
so well, the question is, like, so I would definitely have said, oh, I think it's over there, blah, 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 for the same reason, but also because I can't quite imagine walking through something like Covent Garden and having no idea where the opera house is.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Like, I mean, what I have done is occasionally I've been asked for directions in Sydney. Mm. So like someone just come up to me and I'll say, I'm sorry, I'm not from here.
Right.
But I will only just say no. I will say I'm not from here.
Yes.
So I think that is a bit friendlier. Yeah. I will have to mention something, which is a bit odd, because it's a bit of material, stamp material, not by me. But I do think it's really funny. And I always use this. Occasionally, I've said nice things, sometimes on documentaries, about Michael McIntyre.
Yes.
And this is because I think Michael McIntyre gets quite a lot of stick for being generic and middle class or whatever. But actually, he does very, very, like, insightful and original observational comedy. And he does a bit about asking for directions.
Okay.
And it's almost exactly what you've just talked about. He does a bit about asking for directions. And in asking for directions, in and of itself, as a subject matter in stand-up comedy, is a bit hack.
Yep.
You know, you see lots of people like men don't like asking for directions. Yes. All that shit. But his
Very true, though, isn't it?
His bit is about, do you know what it's like? Have you ever had the experience of someone asks you for direction, or you ask someone else for directions to a place that you vaguely know where it is, but you don't absolutely know where it is, so you just want to make sure you're going the right directions. And then they start giving you what you know are the wrong directions.
Right.
And then you have to nod for a while. And then brilliantly says you have to nod. And then when they're finished telling you, you have to walk off in the wrong direction. And that's brilliantly funny. And he's made of a hack subject a very specifically funny thing.
Yes.
And that's what I sort of imagine.
Yes.
That if your dad had tried to give directions to the man and had completely no idea, that poor man would have had to walk off.
But also, I think my dad's right in the sense that it's a bit like your restaurant guy that you were incredibly rude to, is that they just want the information.
Yeah.
They're not interested in a relationship.
There's a slight difference between, and we've got to go, by the way. So it's been quite a short podcast.
No, but I think an enjoyable
podcast.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Because the viewers at home,
we've so far never graduated to
that's the point.
What most
by the way, we're going to do a theatre performance.
We're not.
Oh, we're not. Right.
At the moment, we're not. Because no one's organised it. We're supposed to be doing it at some point.
What the listeners won't know is next to you in my vision is that a spitting image?
Puppet
of you, right? Yeah. And it's quite weird at times because I can see both of you.
Yeah.
It's not really both of you, is it? Yeah. You and it.
Well, I don't really look that much like it.
Doesn't it? It looks like it's a younger version of you, right?
Yeah, it's a younger, more handsome version of me, obviously.
But what I wondered was, if the puppet, at a certain point, just said, hello.
Yes.
Would there be a thing in our lives where there was everything before that moment and everything after? I kind of feel there would. I think we'd never, ever get over that happening. And we'd question it.
What you would say.
And we'd wonder if we really heard it. But let's just assume we know we heard it speak.
Right. Right.
We would never...
It just says, hello. It doesn't, like... Because what that suggests is that it comes alive and it's Chucky. That's what it suggests.
It just says something.
It just says, hello.
Yeah.
His mouth moves? Or Well, we're not sure.
We're not sure. Yeah. I mean, but it's real.
Can I just say that your hello, which is a tiny bit like your hello when you, the cami guy was speaking, there's a slight similarity to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish by saying that we are now going to cami.
Yes.
And the one thing that is considerably different from, say, your dad being rude, which he definitely was.
I don't know if he was rude.
No, he definitely was. To the man at Covent Garden directing man, is very unlikely, although you might have seen him wandering about looking for the opera house, that you were going to see him again. Certainly he couldn't do anything to you as a result of your dad's extreme rudeness.
Yeah.
Whereas the Camry guy, if you're right, and the Camry guy thought, oh, it was a bit horrible. He can now wee on our sushi.
Yes. And I think it's interesting that when you think about restaurants, and one of the reasons you're not rude, if we're honest, is because you think they could do terrible things. Yeah. It's always piss on the wall. And I suspect there's much worse.
Never shit. I suppose you could say
never.
That.
Well, that'd be.
Yeah,
I don't want to go back to your moose within a moose. Yeah. That was one. But it's always piss. It's, I'd say, on the rung of, on the family fortunes ladder of things, the next thing the audience would say would be spit, I think.
I'd love to see that. I'd love to see Max Bygraves say, we asked. I can't do Max Bygraves.
It's Max, really not been Max Bygraves for 50 years.
Les Dennis. It's
Vernon Kay now, I think.
Is it Vernon Kay? Yeah, I think. Vernon Kay saying, we asked 100 people, what would a nasty restaurant do to you?
Yeah.
87% said piss. 6% said shit. No one said shit. Said spit. Yeah.
No, what
if anyone said, just said sort of rub it on the ground a bit?
They'd go, you said shit, our survey said. That's what. But it's, well, I was going to make that point. Because again, referencing my brother Rob, he worked in a lot of kitchens when he was younger.
Right.
Actually, what they do more than anything, according to him, is rub it in the ground.
No, I just said rub it.
Exactly. So I think they put dirt on it or rub it. And the thing you can really do, which is almost, it's like a perfect Midsummer Murders crime, is with a piece of toast, just rub it into the floor because it's just impossible to
tell. Yeah, I don't think that would bother me that much. If I'd known they were doing that, I don't think I'd be that bothered. Compared to pissing on it, I don't think
I don't know if pissing is that much of a problem.
Partly because, we've now got too far. Like, there's a thing now that kids... get allergies and stuff because they're too protected and they don't do things like roll around on the floor in mud and like pick up things from the ground that would actually improve their immune system. So maybe those horrible chefs are doing a sort of service.
I think for the second time you've become a Tory MP who gets you're like deputy health minister on the day break. I believe that what needs
what needs to happen is this.
What needs to happen is they need to wrap their toast on the floor because they're too soft.
Yeah, too soft. And also the NHS would have far fewer problems, didn't they? With problems and allergies and I don't know what is going on with this voice.
I think there must be other examples of how that is the it's a very no not a very it needs to be the sound
anyway let's go and have the sushi
the problem with children today is that
let's go and have the sushi and see if they've pissed or indeed rubbed it on the floor.
Well, we won't
I think that'd be quite hard to we do with sushi because the fish would just come off the rice.
What I'd like is that it's we're going to a sushi restaurant because we work in media
and we're too late we missed 1:45
and I would like it if he is a bit annoyed and they have rubbed it on the floor, but it's so obvious because sushi's quite hard. Yeah. It's quite perfect that they give us a plate and it's just like completely sort of destroyed.
Yeah, but I think in a Japanese restaurant, you might be too embarrassed and say, "Oh well, that's obviously just some kind of like flavourings, Japanese kind of flavourings."
Right.
That's dark carpet grot. Anyway, that's it, listeners.
Yeah,
we'll see you next.
I love David Bowie, don't you?
He's great. Brilliant. He's fantastic. What a guy. Bye bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.